My name is Kelly Bramblett, and I am the host of the Alchemy of the Phoenix podcast show, which is named after my debut book, The Alchemy of the Phoenix, From the Ashes of Trauma to the Light of Love. My mission, passion, and purpose is to help spread a message of hope to the hopeless and inspire others to heal the collective by first healing themselves. I am a trauma support specialist using my knowledge to support and guide my clients to healing, which I do through my one-on-one trauma recovery, mindset, and shadow work coaching programs. In addition to this, I'm a two-time best-selling author and spiritual mentor who has had the profound honor of working with people worldwide, helping them to live their best, most joyous, and fulfilling lives. You can learn more about my books, my programs, and my services by visiting my website at www.kellybramblett.com. So without any further ado, let's jump into this Alchemy of the Phoenix podcast episode. So welcome, welcome, welcome to this episode of the Alchemy of the Phoenix podcast. Today, I'm super, super excited to have Madeline Evergreen here, which if you guys have been following me over on Facebook, you've probably heard me talking a lot about human design lately. It's been something relatively new that I've been getting into, and I've become quite obsessed with it. It's been pretty profound. And so to have Madeline here, who is an expert in her field, talk with us today and talk with me today is really, really exciting. So a little bit about Madeline. Madeline is a human design reader and somatic breathwork practitioner. She started her career at the young age of 14, teaching group fitness and Pilates, and eventually moved into nutrition coaching. Madeline has a unique perspective on life after experiencing severe health problems since birth. After struggling to find help with her health from any doctors or practitioners, she educated herself and took her healing into her own hands as a teenager, changing her diet and addressing trauma and stress through breathwork. Madeline finally started to get healthy. It wasn't until she learned human design that her health improved. By living her design and getting her mindset and life into alignment, she has stopped experiencing 95% of her health problems, is significantly happier, has tons of energy, and is much more successful in her work and relationships. You can learn more from Madeline on her popular podcast, The Beginner's Guide to Human Design, which I honestly cannot recommend enough. I've been listening to it every single day, and the information on there is so easy to digest and amazing. So definitely give that a check out. But welcome to the show, Madeline. I, again, am thrilled to have you here today.
Hi, Kelly. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really, really looking forward to this conversation.
Awesome. So the first thing I kind of like to ask all of my guests is kind of what put them on the path to where they are. So for you, I'm just curious, what put you on the path to becoming a human design expert? And I know your bio, you mentioned some of the health stuff, but how did this cross your path and what sparked your interest?
Well, oh my goodness, how much time do we have? I'll give the short version. You know, you heard in my bio that I have struggled with severe health problems. And when I say that, I mean like my very first sentence as a baby learning to speak was, "My knees hurt." That's the first thing I ever said. And I was a child completely riddled with severe health troubles. I had growth hormone deficiency, so I had to take injections in order to even grow to a normal height. I got shingles at the age of 13 years old, which anybody who knows what shingles is, that's something that typically a middle-aged or an elderly person would get because of severe stress. And I was getting that as a 13-year-old. You know, the list goes on. That's not important to talk about all those things. But essentially, I had this theme in my childhood and up, you know, until not too long ago of struggling with my health, no matter what I did. And I did a lot. I basically turned health into a more than full-time job around the age of 17. And I went through all of my 20s, you know, working in the health industry. I was doing nutrition coaching and classes. I was teaching fitness. I was a dancer. I was doing all these things, but I still had these problems. And, you know, I was doing the work myself. Like, believe me, I ate well, took all my supplements, did all the detoxes, and I still was one of those people that would have to call in sick all the time at work. I was frowning all the time because I was miserable. And so that led me to all kinds of interests in other modalities. I really left the medical route as a child. That just wasn't working for me. And so I turned to things like shamanism, breath work, different sorts of trauma healing. You know, I remember even dabbling a tiny bit in Reiki as a teenager, and then getting really interested in law of attraction and manifestation. And I took a huge manifestation course a few years ago that introduced me to human design. And then I became obsessed with human design. And here I am doing this as a career. And it's been, I honestly can say, the best my life has ever been since I've learned human design. My career has flourished. My relationship with my husband and my mom and my sister and my whole family has improved. My body is a different body. Like, I literally have a new body, physically, the way it looks, the way that it works. It's been wild. So that's what brought me here.
Ooh, I love it. And I can relate just from the little bit of time that I have been delving into the way that I can see my relationships improving. And especially with my partner, we are very different in so many ways. And one thing I've realized is that I'm constantly pushing her to be more aligned with my design and less aligned with hers. Like, I was just listening to your throat chakra podcast or chakra center this morning, and I have a defined and hers is undefined. And I'm constantly like, you're terrible at communicating. Like, you need to express yourself more. And we're and pushing, pushing, pushing. And I was talking to her on the phone this morning. She's visiting family. And I was like, I need to stop doing that, I've realized. Like, and just accept that you are going to express yourself in different ways that maybe aren't as vocal. So it's really helped me to look at someone's chart and then realize, oh, this is why, you know, they are this way. And so I just need to accept this as them being who they are and get over it. Like, she's never going to communicate like I do. So let's just get past that and start communicating in the best way that we will together. So I can really see how learning about human design can help improve relationships, and even the relationship we have with ourselves, because it's called me to a lot of self-acceptance as well.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that was actually one of the things that got me obsessed with human design was like the first thing I experienced was true, serious admiration and gratitude for the traits in my family that I used to hate. Like, I don't mean like I'll just accept my sister for being that way. That's just her. No, like there's things that my sister and my mom and my husband and my friends do that used to honestly like drive me nuts. And I would try to get them to change, or I would wish they were different, or I thought that those were bad qualities until I learned a little bit about their charts and I realized, oh my God, that's who they are actually meant to be. And that's a benefit for us all. Like for my mom to have mothered me in the way that she did was totally in alignment with her design. And if she had done it the way I wished she had done it, it would have been out of alignment and it would not have worked out for her or for me. It would have led her to be burnt out and me as her child to be confused and lost. And so I've come to realize these annoying things in our loved ones that are actually authentic to them. They're not just like who they are and we just deal with it. No, those are blessings for us all. Like the fact that, you know, my husband is completely different than me, and he's a slower paced, kind of grounded thinker. And I'm like a speed demon. I'm constantly like moving and going and talking, and I'm super, super fast in my head. It used to really bother me, and I wish that he would just speed up. Now I realize actually, when I give him the space of slowness and time, the most incredible things come out of him. And it's amazing. And it makes me feel so much more gratitude for people's differences.
Absolutely. So some people might be wondering what the heck we are even talking about. Like, I realized when I put this kind of out there on my socials a lot of people were just asking, like, what is human design? Like, it's not everyone knows about it. So how would you best explain what human design is and where does it originate from?
Human design is basically a user manual for you. Like, everybody gets their own user manual. So imagine that the moment you're born, you pop out of your mom and somebody comes down and hands your parents the user manual for their new baby. And what I'm talking about is, like, how does your energy work? What's your personality like? What are your gifts and your strengths and the qualities that you're meant to use in this life? How do you digest your food best? Like, what environments are good for you? You know, what does fear mean for you? How should you be speaking up or not? Like, all kinds of things that we all easily get conditioned around. A really big piece of human design is actually removing the conditioning of the world, or removing all of these lessons we learn, all of the shoulds that we get, all of the societal norms that we don't know, is that right for me or am I just people pleasing? It's removing all of that and just distilling down to who are you actually in this lifetime. And it's made up of a number of different modalities. So it's kind of a combination of the I Ching, the chakra system, the Kabbalah tree of life, and astrology. So it's actually very, very, very scientific and mathematical. But you can bring spirituality into it as deeply as you want, or you can keep it extremely logic-based, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. With me, because I am so spiritual, I tend to always have that spiritual lens. And the best way that I've come to understand it thus far is I think of it as our ultimate soul contract, the contract we made before we came here, like, to agree, what gifts am I going to bring? What is my purpose going to be? And so that's kind of how I've put those pieces together. But as you said and mentioned, it's not a spiritual modality, a spiritual practice, anything like that. So it, you know, can benefit anyone, and you can be a spiritual and non-spiritual, which I really think is wonderful, because that means even more people are going to open up to it. So what can we learn about ourselves, which we've already kind of touched on a little bit, and others, from looking at a human design chart, which I can already say, if you've never looked at one, you are going to probably look and be like, what the hell is all of this? But once we kind of start breaking it down, what can we learn about ourselves and others by looking at our chart?
So much. I always tell people that, you know, when I do a one-on-one reading, it's like an hour long, I could probably talk for 12 hours straight about one person's chart, maybe even more. So a lot. But some of the biggest, most juiciest, beneficial parts are to learn your energy type. And there are 5 different energy types in human design. If anybody's listening and you've ever heard someone say, oh, I'm a generator or I'm a projector, that's those words. And the energy type is not your personality, it's how your energy is supposed to work. So I want everybody listening to just think to yourself, like, have you ever been super, super pumped up and energized and you're like, why am I so energized? This feels so good. I wish I was this way all the time. And then the next day, you're so unmotivated and tired and exhausted and you feel so burnt out and you can't really put your finger on why. Or like at work, you feel awful and then you hang out with your friends and you feel amazing. And I mean, like, energetically, like you have a lot of energy or not a lot of energy. Well, it can be kind of difficult to figure out how your energy is supposed to work without looking at your human design. You can absolutely figure it out over, you know, decades of self-experimentation and examination. But when you learn about your energy type, you'll learn things like, some people are supposed to go at 200% until they're ready to go at zero. So, like, I've heard this example of Adele. I don't really know much about Adele, but apparently she'll like go crazy working for like a year and put out this huge album, and then she'll completely disappear for like 3 years. And that's normal for that kind of energy type. That would be kind of like a manifester. That's one of the energy types. Some people, like projectors, that's what you are, Kelly. A projector is supposed to go out there and put themselves out there in like an energetic or an outputting way for a very limited amount of time. Like maybe 2 or 3 hours a day is when they feel like they're working. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the time, they don't have to be sleeping or resting or watching TV, but the rest of their time is more internal. It's more observation, study, practice, learning, self-care, maybe also resting. And then there's other types like generators and manifesting generators that can go out there and have like endless amounts of energy, like a rechargeable battery, as long as they love what they're doing. If they don't love what they're doing, they are a dead battery. And they are kind of like a soul-sucking energy. So that's what I am. I'm a manifesting generator. And I always have this like wonderful problem where if I do a human design reading like in the evening or teach an online class or teach or do a breath work in the evening, I'm so energized after because I love it so much. I literally can't sleep all night. I'm like pumped. But if I have to like go to a meeting or if I'm like hanging out with someone I don't like, I'm so tired I cannot even keep my eyes open. And then there's another type, there's reflectors who are really like the ultimate chameleons where they mirror, they match the energy of anything that's going on around them. So they're kind of like a canary in a coal mine where if there's bad energy around, they will have bad energy and that's a red flag for the group. Or if they have amazing energy, if they feel really good, that's because there's something really good going on in the group. So they're like our mirror, our literal reflector of how the society is going. So that's one of the aspects that I recommend everybody learns is your energy type. And there are a couple of other aspects that go along well with that that can also be helpful to learn about. Like there's something called the authority in your chart. And the authority is that one voice in your head that you are actually meant to listen to when making decisions. So think to yourself, like, have you ever tried to make a decision and you have so many voices in your head telling you different things? Like your logical side is telling you don't do it because that's stupid. And then your heart is longing for you to do it. And then like there's this other voice in your head that's like, oh, I secretly, want to do it, but I wish nobody knew. Like there's all this chatter. Well, the weird thing is that we actually do have all that chatter and it can be explained by looking at your chart, but there's only one of those voices that you as an individual are supposed to listen to. So it might be your emotions, it might be your instincts, it might be your mind. It depends on what your chart says. So it makes it incredibly easy for you to just make a decision based off of that voice when you're feeling a lot of confliction.
So I kind of mentioned at the beginning how learning about my human design has really helped me with self-acceptance, and learning my energy type was probably one of the biggest catalysts for releasing some long-held limiting beliefs that I didn't even realize necessarily that I was having. I wasn't conscious of them necessarily. And also conditioned beliefs, because I grew up surrounded by generators who had a lot of energy, and I don't have energy. So it's always been kind of a joke, like this like joke about me being maybe lazy, basically, or oh, Kelly, she doesn't have a lot of energy. And I think it's a part of myself that I have rejected to some degree, because I look at other people out there and I'm like, I have all these really strong dreams and I have such passion and I'm really like set in my purpose. And sometimes I'm just like, I see all these people out there like chasing their dreams and having endless energy. And meanwhile, I, as you say, I burn out, like, and I just shut down and I need to hermit myself in and not be around people and not talk. And I've always seen this as something that makes me less than, and I want to fight against it constantly and push myself and try to keep up with other people in my life, because I had it in my head like this is the only way I'm going to achieve the things I want to achieve. And when I started understanding my energy type, it was like I was able to finally release a lifetime of limiting beliefs around this and just accept like this is actually how I will achieve the things I want to achieve, because trying to do it in someone else's way, like a generator's way, for example, is not going to work for me. It's going to cause me to burn out. And I literally just had to take almost a year off from work because I was so burned out. I had written 3 books in 1 year, as per my publisher's request, and they had me writing these books in like 5 weeks at a time. I had a full client list. And I just stopped enjoying these things that usually light me up so much, where I was dreading it. I was dreading the work altogether. And I didn't know why, but I knew. I was like, I have to step back, and I don't know if this is going to be forever. Like, maybe my goals are changing or whatever. But as I've taken this time off, now I'm like refocused. I've redefined like what my work is going to look like, and I'm ready to get started again. And having this understanding of my human design has really helped support that, because I'm realizing like I just have to do things on my own time, in my own way, and stop with this idea that because I don't have necessarily as much energy as other people, that that means that I'm not going to be able to accomplish these things. So I think it's just, as you say, one of the most important aspects we can learn about, because it can reveal so much.
Yeah, and it can help you remove all that shame. Like, there's absolutely nothing wrong with you for having a different level of energy than another person. But if you don't know that about yourself, you'd probably learn it. But how many years is that gonna take? So
Right.
that's why I just love human design, because I feel like I've gotten like 50 years of self-discovery just done so quickly. And I'm a very trusting person, so I'm totally on board with, if my chart says this, I will try it and then I'll see if it works. Some people really don't like to trust a modality and they would rather figure it out themselves, and that's great. But it does take longer, just to do it the like life way, like just on, without the chart.
Yeah, trial and error, what works and what doesn't, and then trying to sort everything out from there. I agree. I would much prefer to skip all that if I can and just get to the good stuff. And
Yeah.
like you, I'm always like, let me give this a try. Like, let me actually apply something, and if it doesn't work, then I'll leave it behind. And thus far, as I've been applying the things that I'm learning, I've already seen like amazing shifts. So I definitely think it's worth it. How can someone find their own human design charts? And what information do they need to get that chart?
Yeah. There are lots of websites that you can look up your chart, but I really like the one that's myhumandesign.com. I'm not associated with it or anything, but I just love that one. It's the easiest to read the description. There's other websites also. I don't remember what they're called, but a lot of people tell me they can't even understand the description. It's way too like intense, or all this spiritual jargon that a lot of people don't understand. And so myhumandesign.com, that's Jenna Zoe's website. If anybody's ever heard of Jenna Zoe, she's great human design leader in the space. And all you need to do is put in your birth date, your exact birth time, and your exact birth location, like the city you were born in, and it'll pull up your chart. It's not a quiz. You don't answer any other questions. It's not like you do a questionnaire. But I do have to say, if you don't know your exact birth time, it can be a little bit tricky, because you can't just guess and expect to get a perfectly accurate chart. The chart could be 100% different minute by minute. It's not always. Sometimes it does stay the same for a few minutes or a few hours, or it's slightly different. So I have some pointers for people who don't know their birth time. First of all, it's probably on your birth certificate. So if you have that, get it out. It's not on my birth certificate, so it's not on everybody's. I've heard of people calling their hospital that they were born at and asking, and sometimes they have it in the hospital records. If you can't do any of that, you could ask your mom, and if she says something like, "Oh, I don't know, but it was early in the morning," then you can say, "Okay, great. Like, are you talking like 2 a.m. or like 6 a.m.? Somewhere in between there. I don't know, maybe like 4." So if that's where you're at, then you could look up a bunch of charts between like 2 and 6 a.m., like maybe every hour or every 15 minutes between that time. And if they're all totally different, then you're in a little bit of a tricky spot. But if they're all really, really similar, look at them and kind of compare and pick the one that you think is probably you. Or just pick out the aspects of all those similar charts that are the same. Like, if they're all saying you're a projector, then you know you're a projector at least, and you might not know all the other nitty-gritty details. If anybody here wants to use a pendulum Go for it. That's what I do a lot. That's what I did for myself because my parents thought they knew my birth time, but it's not recorded anywhere. So I confirmed with a pendulum, and I had other people that know how to use pendulums do it separately, and we all came up with the same answer. And if you don't know how to use a pendulum, I know you can look up YouTube videos to find out how to use one. And then I don't even know what this service is called, but I've heard that there's some kind of like really amazing astrologers or somebody who can actually find your birth time. Do you know about that?
Yeah, I do. I was going to actually mention that as well because I had an amazing astrologer on the show. And at the time, I didn't know my birthday. I've just recently been able to get that information. So it was
Your birth
keeping me.
date?
Oh, I'm sorry, my birth time.
Oh,
No, I
okay.
know my birthday, my birth time. And at the time of the interview with him, I didn't have that information. It's been very recent that I've been able to get it. And he was explaining that astrologers, they work backwards somehow, basically. And it's pretty complicated. So I don't know all the ins and outs, but a very educated, seasoned astrologer can somehow look at certain aspects of your chart and literally work backwards and come up within, he said, about a 30-minute time frame of like your date of birth. So I was at some point thinking that was probably going to be what I was going to need to do. So yeah, that's another great option.
Cool.
I agree for people. So talk a little bit with us about like what services do you offer around human design? How do you kind of usher all of this knowledge and wisdom that you've gained over years of study to help others?
Well, my favorite service that I offer, if you want to call it that, is actually my podcast. I have a podcast called The Beginner's Guide to Human Design, and I thrive teaching beginners. I love being a teacher. I've been teaching since I was 14 years old, all different types of things. I started with weightlifting. But I've always loved beginners. And it's fascinating to me because my chart actually shows that I see the world through the lens of a beginner's mind. And so now I understand, oh my God, that's why I love working with beginners. And of course, I work with advanced people as well, and people of all different levels. And some people have continued working with me for years, and so they're not a beginner. But I really do hone in on the basics. And so if you're a person who doesn't know anything about human design, or you've been trying to learn, but it's complicated, it's not sticking in your head, you're not really getting it, then start with the very first episode of the Beginner's Guide to Human Design podcast, and it's going to help you to learn the most important things in a language that you can actually understand, as long as you speak English. Like language, I mean, I'm not going to be ripping off human design terminology really fast, like a lot of people do and can't keep up. I also do one-on-one readings, which are not for everybody. And so, if you are the kind of person that wants to talk one-on-one in depth about your life, and you want to know a lot about your chart specifically and how to put together the different pieces, then a one-on-one reading is a fantastic thing to do. And I even have people who come back and do a couple of them. You know, after maybe a year or a few months, they'll come back and do another one to go a little deeper. And then I also teach all kinds of different online workshops and classes and groups. By the time this podcast comes out, we'll be right in the middle of one. And so you guys can just stay tuned for what's coming in January. But I do a lot of group coaching. I absolutely love groups. Oh my gosh, groups are my favorite. And so I specialize in these groups on helping you to execute your design. Use my podcast as a source for learning. Like, that's the knowledge, that's the learning. Take it at your own pace. And then, if you want help actually living your design, like working through conditioning and actually doing it for real, that's when you would want to do a reading or get inside one of my groups. I don't really offer huge educational programs because you can get this education lots of places, books, podcasts, all over the place. It's very easy to get basic education, but it's very difficult to actually live your design because you think you get it. Like, you read a book or you listen to a podcast and you're like, oh my God, that's so me. Oh my God, this is so liberating. And then you walk out of the room into the kitchen and there's your husband triggering you, or your kid is doing something and you're like, ah, I don't even know how to be my design when I'm this triggered. Or I don't even know what to do when somebody's wanting me to act a certain way and I'm like, I'm stuck, or I'm in a job that I truly despise, but I can't leave, or all kinds of things. Like, how do you navigate that? And so that's what I help people with in the groups and in the readings, the one-on-one readings.
Ooh, I love that. I always tell people or ask people, like, what is the difference between knowledge and wisdom? Because I feel like so many of us have the knowledge, and even with human design, like, there is so much out there. It is really easy to get the information, but wisdom is when we actually apply that knowledge to our lives and let it benefit us in some way. So it sounds like you offer a great support in helping to people to actually apply this knowledge in that way. So I absolutely love that. So the final question I have is, I just would love for you to share with us where people can go, where my listeners can go to book a reading with you, learn about what you're offering, because I'm sure after listening to this, people are going to be dying to learn more about you and your readings and your workshops and all the great stuff that you're offering. So what's the best place for people to go to do that?
The best place to kind of get into my world is on Instagram. You can find me there at healthy underscore Madeline. And you can also visit my website, which is madelineevergreen.com. And on my website, that's where you can get the information for any upcoming workshops. You can book a reading. You can get to my podcast. You can even see my breathwork workshops that I have. We don't need to touch on that, but that's available. So those are the two places. And on my Instagram, I do love to put out a ton of bite-sized little lessons. And so if you're the kind of person that just wants to know like a little blip of education about your design, like in 30 seconds, go there. I have a ton of that, and it's really easy to learn that way.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you so much. I know we have really just touched on the basics here. There are so many layers to human design. And so, for the sake of not having this be a 5-hour podcast, I've kind of just designed questions to touch on the basics, but I do plan on having more podcasts on this topic to go a little bit deeper. But I really appreciate you coming on, sharing your wisdom, your knowledge with us.
Thank you, Kelly. I'm so grateful to be here today.